Well, let me begin by asking you, why can't we all just get along? Right? Why do we have relationship problems? People have been asking that for a long time, haven't they? And in James 4:1, we get our answer. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Yeah, it's those desires that come from your heart and battle within you. That's why we can't just get along. We have this battle with sin. Think about what you often want from relationships and try to do this just examining your heart. What are some common relationships desire? What are some things that people want from relationships? Think heart issue here. Things that people want in their relationships. They want personal value. They want trust, acceptance, love, security. I agree. A sense of belonging. I like that. Companionship. Now, do you think that if your primary desire in relationships is for acceptance, that your relationships would look different from somebody whose primary desire in relationships is to control? Do you think your relationships might look different depending on what's going on in your heart? I think so. And what I want to do is just think about some common heart themes here. Here are the ones I came up with. The ones you came up with were good, too. A desire for approval. I think that's pretty common in relationships, right? I want you to like me. I want you to think well of me. Desire for approval. A desire for control. I want you to do what I want, okay? When I ask you to do something, I want you to do it. In fact, I don't even want to have to ask you. I just want you to do it, okay? Another thing that I think is a common heart theme is just a fear of being hurt. I don't want to be hurt, okay? I do not want to be vulnerable. I want to be able to trust you and know you are not going to hurt me. Another common heart theme, I think, is the desire to be right. And I want you to do things right, because if you don't, I might be embarrassed. A desire to be right. A desire to have fun. A desire for ease and comfort. So if you're needy and my desire is for ease and comfort, I'm probably not going to be attracted to a relationship with you. Or a desire for prestige and success. And in Luke 6:45, we're told that what's in our hearts is going to come out in our behavior. So if what I long for is approval, you're going to see that in my friendship. If what I long for is fun, you're going to see that in my friendships. That's why I think it's important to get to the heart of friendships. Now, I want to just take our time together today and flesh this out looking at one heart issue. We're going to look at the desire for control. We could look at any of these. We're going to look at the desire of control and flesh that out and see what it looks like. So let me begin by just going through a little example for you. This is, we're going to go through a typical day for a control-oriented woman, Victoria, okay? Victoria loves control. That's what's going on in her heart. Okay, typical day for Victoria, 7:30 a.m. Victoria sees Deborah's minivan pulling into the driveway as she finishes tying the laces on her walking shoes. Both Victoria and Deborah want to develop a habit of exercising regularly and have agreed that they can encourage each other. Their plan is to walk by themselves during the week and together every Saturday morning. On Saturdays, they will walk for 5 miles at Victoria's favorite park. Since it's on the way, Deborah has swung by to pick up Victoria. Victoria functions as a backseat driver all the way to the park, informing Deborah of the shortest route, alerting her to potholes, and pointing out when the cars ahead of them start to brake. When Deborah pulls into a parking space at the park, Victoria insists that Deborah take a spot much closer to the walking trail. For pity's sake, thinks Deborah, we came to get some exercise. Why can't we walk across the parking lot? With a resigned sigh, however, Deborah reverses and pulls into the spot 6 spaces nearer to the walking trail. After 3 times around the mile and a quarter trail that encircles the pond, Deborah tells Victoria that she's going to have to quit because her knee is really bothering her. You can't desert me now, Victoria pleads. Just go a little longer. Deborah explains that she'll wait in the van until Victoria finishes, but she's afraid she'll damage her knee if she keeps going. Victoria angrily responds, whatever, it's all about you, isn't it? As she stalks off for her final lap. Victoria purposely takes her time, wanting Deborah to have to wait and hoping Deborah will feel bad for quitting. On the way home, Victoria does her best to make Deborah feel bad for leaving her to walk alone. 7:30, 9:30 a.m. Victoria finishes making her list of people to call to ask to serve at the Crisis Pregnancy Center banquet. Each person on the list is someone Victoria has helped in the past. Victoria is confident each person will feel like they owe her and won't turn down her request. 9:31, Victoria dials Natalie's number. When Natalie answers, Victoria requests Natalie's help for the upcoming banquet. Natalie tells Victoria she'd love to help, but she promised her neighbor she'd help her plant her garden that night. Victoria responds, "But this is more important than planting the garden. You can plant the garden anytime. Your neighbor will understand. I thought we were friends." When Natalie doesn't give in, Victoria hangs up the phone, seething. Mentally, she moves Natalie to her group of blacklisted friends. 9:39 a.m. Victoria next dials Jillian. After explaining why she's calling, Victoria manipulatively states, "Natalie says she won't help, but you're not going to let me down, are you? I know you're always there for me." 10:32 a.m. Victoria finishes calls to eight more people. She asks them to serve at the banquet, subtly reminding them of how she has helped them in the past. 11:15. Victoria runs to Kroger to get some fresh lobster for the dinner party she's having this evening. Last week, Marcia and Tim had Victoria and her husband Dane over for dessert. Victoria has returned the invitation by inviting them to dinner. She plans to serve lobster bisque, prime rib, fresh green beans and soy sauce, asparagus and butter sauce, homemade yeast rolls, and raspberry truffle cheesecake.
You like Victoria, don't you?
11:18. In the seafood department, Victoria sees Candace. Noticing steak in Candace's cart, Victoria asks Candace if Candace is celebrating something special. Candace responds that she and her husband have invited their neighbors over for a cookout. Victoria immediately feels a twinge of jealousy. "You told me you guys weren't doing anything this weekend," Victoria accuses. 12:30. Dane walks in from the garage holding Victoria's car keys in his hand. Victoria regularly leaves her keys in the ignition, even though Dane has asked her not to do this. "Honey, what can I do to help you remember not to leave your keys in the ignition?" Dane asks nicely. "I don't see what the big deal is. The car's in the garage. It's not like I leave the keys in the ignition and the car's parked on the street," is Victoria's irritated reply. "If you love me, you wouldn't keep bothering me about it." 3:27 p.m. Victoria calls to talk to her stepson, Cameron. Dane told Victoria yesterday that Cameron has decided to go to Disney World this summer with Dane's former wife rather than to the Wisconsin Dells with Victoria and Dane. Although Dane is not upset by Cameron's decision, Victoria is. Victoria tells Cameron she doesn't understand how Cameron could do this to his dad, especially after everything Dane has done for him. 5:20. Victoria asks her husband to set the table for her. When he's done, she readjusts all the silverware and water glasses, instructing Dane as she does so on the proper way to set the table. 6:52. Marcia and Tim want to know if Victoria and Dane are going to sign up for the co-ed volleyball league again this fall. Tim comments that Victoria should have gotten the award for most competitive last season, noting that Victoria was even more aggressive than the guys on the team. 7:53. Marcia suggests the two couples get together next weekend and go to a movie she's been wanting to see. Victoria immediately responds with what she thinks is a better idea. "Let's go to that Shakespeare in the Park play I saw advertised in the leisure section of the Post Tribune. I can call and get tickets for us tomorrow," she volunteers. She ignores the disappointed expression on Marcia's face. And then 10:45 p.m., coming to bed shortly after Dane, Victoria fumes that Dane has the remote control to their bedroom TV firmly in his grasp. Dane is clearly enjoying the Weather Channel's three-day forecast. Victoria flounces and turns on her side with her back to Dane, miffed that she can't watch the news. Perhaps you have counselees like Victoria. Perhaps you have friends like Victoria. Perhaps you are Victoria. Control-oriented individuals probably display